is a joy to be with you in this Christmas morning. And this morning we're not going to be looking at the book of Acts like we normally do. We're going to be looking at John's Gospel. We're going to be looking at John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And that passage can be found as well on page 1055 in the pew Bibles in front of you. 1055, or John chapter 3, starting at verse 17. So let us turn there together. And if you're able to, let us stand for the reading of God's Word. In John chapter 3, starting at verse 17, it says this: "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment: the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." And now let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, on this Christmas morning, we remember the birth of Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. He was born to save us from our sins. He came into this world in order that he might lay down his life as a perfect sacrifice. He took upon himself our human flesh. The immortal one was clothed with our mortality to defeat death and all the powers of hell. He exchanged the presence of eternal fellowship with you to walk among us in a world of pain and suffering. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." And so with Paul we say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And by that will we are saved. You willed to save us through your Son and apply that salvation to our lives by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. May we never forget this great work of salvation. May we never cease to be amazed at the incarnation of the Son of God. May we always rejoice in this truth, and no matter what happens to us, Jesus has shown us that God is with us, and you will lead us safely home. Grant us wisdom as we reflect on the Gospel of John this morning. May these profound truths change us and increase our delight in the God who saves. And we pray for these things by the authority of the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Last evening at our Christmas Eve service, we looked at John 3:16. And so in John 3:16, we see the gospel in one verse, that God so loved the world. The gospel is all about what God has done. It is the message that God is with us, Emmanuel. It is a message that God loved us in spite of our sins. God loved us even when we were lost, and even when we were in rebellion against him, he still loved us. And he loved the world. He didn't just love Jewish people, but he loved Gentiles as well, like you and me. His love is for the whole world, for all people groups. And because of his love for lost sinners like you and like me, he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only Son of the Father, or in Greek, the word for only is monogenes. It's a term that means an only child, the only Son of God, the one and only unique Son, because there is no other like him. This eternal Son of the Father was given for us so that whoever believes in him, whoever trusted him for salvation, will not perish. Because we deserve to perish for our sins. We deserve condemnation for the bad things that we have done. But because we trust in Jesus, instead of receiving condemnation, we receive salvation and eternal life. And that eternal life begins now. We have eternal life. Eternal life begins the moment we trust in Jesus. And so we who believe in Jesus are saved right now. and we are being saved right now from the condemning power of sin. And so in verse 17, Jesus continues and he talks about how he, the Son of God, has been sent into the world to save us. It says in verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Jesus Christ refers to himself here as the one who is sent. God has sent his Son into the world. He is the Father's ambassador. He is the one who speaks with the authority of the Father. He is the perfect image and reflection of the Father's glory and nature. Jesus can even say in John 14 that the one who has seen me has seen the Father, because he is the perfect image of God. He is God by nature. This is how Jesus Christ describes himself in John chapter 10. When he says in verse 30 that I and the Father are one, the Jewish leaders accused him of blasphemy and teaching falsely. And Jesus replied to their accusations of blasphemy by saying this in John 10:36. He describes himself in this way: "Do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God'?" Jesus in John 10:36 describes himself as the one whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world. To be consecrated means to be set apart. It's the same word that means to sanctify, to set apart for holy use. The Father set him apart for the mission of redemption he was to go on. The Father chose him as his perfect Son and chose to send him into the world. He didn't choose to send an angel into the world, but he chose to send his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be born of the Virgin Mary. He is the very Son of God. And that means that Jesus Christ is preexistent. He preexisted his conception in the womb of Mary. Jesus Christ existed before he was conceived in the womb of Mary, his mother, in the virgin conception of Jesus. He is the eternal Son of God. And that is in contrast to a heresy or false belief called adoptionism. And adoptionism is the false belief that Jesus was just a mere man like you and like I, that he is not God, and they believe that he didn't come into existence until he was conceived, like you and like I. But Jesus here says that he existed before he was born. Before he was born, he was consecrated by the Father and sent into the world. Jesus Christ describes a time before the foundation of the world when he was with the Father. In John 17, verse 5, Jesus prays to the Father and says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed." Before the world existed, the Father shared the glory of the Father. Jesus shared this very glory with the Father. He was with the Father in the beginning. And why did the Father send his Son into the world? He sent his Son into the world to save it. He came to rescue us from our sins. And what kind of world was this that the Father sent his Son into? It was a world that was lost. It was a world that was far from God, filled with people who had wanted nothing to do with God. It was a world that was condemned, a world that was full of rebellion and iniquity. And the proof of God's love for sinners is that God gave his Son. He gave his Son to us first at the incarnation, and then he gave his Son to us at the cross. Jesus Christ died for sinners on the cross, which is the evidence of God's love for us. So as I said last night, it was not that the Father needed Jesus to die for us in order for God to love us, but it was rather because God already loved us in our sins that he gave his Son to die for us, to reconcile us to God. God loves sinners, and therefore he sent his Son to die for them. Or as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. God gave his Son to save us. He came to save us from our sin. The Bible defines sin as disobedience to the law of God. And so anything that falls short of God's perfect and righteous standard in the Bible is sin. Sin is lawlessness, as 1 John says. Sin is disobedience, and all of us have sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And that's why all of us need a Savior. All of us need Jesus to rescue us from the bad things that we have done. Jesus came to rescue us from hell by taking our place on the cross. Jesus was born in order to die. He lived in order to die, and he died in order to live again by being raised from the dead 3 days later. Paul describes what Jesus did for us in these words in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. These verses Cliff read already, and they describe for us what Jesus Christ did for us. In Galatians 4, Paul says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." We can only become sons and daughters of God by adoption, because the one and only Son of God, who was never adopted, who is the eternal Son of God, came into the world 2,000 years ago. We are adopted as children of God through faith in Jesus, because Jesus, the Son of God, was born to die for us. The Son of God, who is God by nature, was given for us to make us sons and daughters of God. And Jesus Christ came to save the world. He came to save all kinds of people. He came not only for Jews, but for Gentiles as well. And we are called to go and take this gospel to all the world, because Jesus Christ was sent for all the world. In his first coming, Jesus Christ came not to condemn the world, but to save it. But Jesus Christ is going to come again one day. At his second coming, he will come to save his people from this world, and he will come to condemn those who are wicked. There is a day of judgment coming upon our world. Jesus taught this in John chapter 5, verses 28 through 29. Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." There is a day of judgment coming upon this world for those who are wicked. Those who are wicked and evil will be judged by God one day. They will be condemned for their sins. And yet Jesus Christ came into the world in his first coming to save those who are wicked and evil. And if this is true, if God is going to judge the world one day, how do I, who am a sinner, how do I escape the justice of God on that day? How do I escape the wrath of God on that day of judgment for my sins? Well, verse 18 tells us, Jesus goes on to tell us how we can escape the judgment of God. He says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." This is good news. This is the gospel, that God saves those who believe in Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Jesus Christ has shed his blood for their souls, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and all means all. God can save the worst and the vilest and the most wretched of sinner through faith in Jesus, because the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cleanse us from all sin. That's what Jesus said on the cross. He said, "It is finished," or tetelestai in Greek, "it is complete." His work of atonement is finished and perfect and complete for all who believe in him. Jesus said in John 5:24 about eternal life, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." We who believe in Jesus have been translated from the domain of sin and darkness and of Satan into the kingdom of God, and we have eternal life now, and there is no condemnation for us, because God has forgiven us for our sins, and so we will never, ever be condemned for them. We are safe in the hands of God for all those who believe in Jesus. But what does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it mean to trust in Jesus? Because faith in Jesus is more than just believing facts about Jesus. Someone can believe in the fact that Jesus died and rose again and yet still be lost. A person can intellectually assent to certain facts about Jesus in the Bible and yet be unsaved. But saving faith is more than just intellectual assent. It is trust. It is trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation and repenting of our sins. It is looking to Him for salvation. It is abandoning all hope of salvation apart from Christ and fleeing to Him, placing all of my salvation in His hands. Only Jesus Christ can save us. We can't save ourselves. So it's not Jesus plus what I do or Jesus plus my good works. It's Jesus Christ alone. Christ alone saves us, and we cannot save ourselves. None of us can be good enough to be saved. And because apart from Jesus Christ, there is no good person. All of us have sinned, and the standard that we are called to achieve is perfection, and no one can achieve that. Only Jesus Christ could live a sinless life, and we need His righteousness given to us by faith. We need what He has done for us. We need His righteousness. We need His finished work on the cross. Saving faith takes Jesus Christ at His word. It is a faith that believes all that the Bible says about Jesus and places all of our hope and trust in Him and Him alone. It is a faith that recognizes Him as Lord of all, as Paul says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It is a faith that recognizes Him as God incarnate. And this true faith that comes from the Holy Spirit is an abiding faith. It is a lasting faith. It is a faith that endures because it is a supernatural faith. It is a faith that will never, ever let go of Jesus Christ, because God will never let go of us, because God has shown His love for us in the gospel, and we are taken up in that love. We are enthralled by that love, and we desire to follow after Jesus Christ all the days of our lives, because we know Him who has saved us, because we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus describes those who believe in Him in this way, in John 10:27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The true sheep of Christ will follow Jesus wherever He goes. They have a personal relationship with Him. They know Jesus, and Jesus knows them. The Gospel of John describes true saving faith by using the present tense. It says here, "Whoever believes in Him is not condemned." That word "believes" is in the present tense. It is believing in Jesus. But a false faith is described in John's Gospel in the past tense. They are described as those who believed in Jesus, but they didn't really believe. Their faith was not a living and active and abiding faith that comes from the Holy Spirit. Those who believe in Jesus believe in Him, and they have a living and enduring faith, because it is the faith that comes ultimately from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit, and we respond to the Spirit's work in our life by faith. And for all who have this faith in Jesus, they are not condemned. They will never be condemned for their sins, because Jesus Christ was already condemned for them on the cross. Jesus Christ bore their sins to Calvary, and He paid the penalty for their sins. And so they will never, ever be condemned for their sins in God's sight, because Jesus Christ already was. Jesus Christ is the foundation of their salvation. And the fact that Jesus Christ has shed His blood for our souls is the foundation for the assurance of our salvation. You can know that you have eternal life now. You can know that you're going to go to heaven one day when you die, because Jesus Christ has shed His blood for you. You can have assurance of your salvation now and know for certain that you are saved. And that assurance of salvation comes from the Holy Spirit, who bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And we respond to what the Spirit does in our hearts by faith, by trusting in Christ, because we have passed from death to life. And we need to preach this message to ourselves every day, because we are so prone to wander. We are so prone to forget these truths. And we need to repeat these truths to ourselves every day, to preach the gospel to ourselves, because we need the gospel. Even as Christians, we need the truths of the gospel. We need these truths every day. As one pastor put it, we never outgrow our need for the gospel. We never outgrow our need to preach the gospel to ourselves. And we have to remind ourselves of these truths over and over and over again, because the gospel is the message of the whole scriptures. The whole Bible is about the gospel. From Genesis to Revelation, it all points back to Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb that was slain. And so God calls us to rest in Him, to put away our anxious fears, because God has put away our sins, to believe in Him, to not be worried, not to not live a life of anxiety and fear, but to rest in these truths, to rest in Jesus Christ, because he is enough. And why are we not condemned for our sins? Well, I've already said it. The reason why we're not condemned for our sins is because Jesus Christ was condemned for them already. And we by faith lay hold of the cross of Christ. We by faith accept what Jesus Christ has done for sinners already. Because Jesus Christ is our substitute, he is the one who takes our place. And I love what the pastor Charles Spurgeon said about what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. He explained how Jesus Christ takes our place on Calvary in these words. He said, "God is just. He must punish sin. And yet God is merciful. He wills to pardon those who believe in Jesus." And so, how is this to be done? How can he be just and exact the penalty and yet be merciful and accept the sinner? He does it thus. He takes the sins of his people and actually lifts them up from off his people to Christ so that they stand as innocent as though they had never sinned. And Christ is looked upon by God as though he had been all the sinners in the world. The sin of his people was taken from their persons and really and actually, not typically and metaphorically, but really and actually laid on Christ. Then God came forth with his fiery sword to meet the sinner and to punish him. He met Christ. Christ was not a sinner himself, but the sins of his people were all imputed to him. Justice, therefore, met Christ as though he had been the sinner, punished Christ for his people's sins, punished him as far as rights could go, exacted from him the last atom of the penalty, and left not a dreg in the cup. And now, he who can see Christ as being a substitute and puts his trust in him is thereby delivered from the curse of the law. That is what Jesus Christ did for us. He is our substitute. He is the one who bears our sins and our penalty on the cross so that we see them no more. This is the great exchange that the reformer Martin Luther so often talked about, that Christ was given for us. He took upon himself our sins, and we receive his righteousness and innocence when we believe in him for salvation. That is the gospel. And so instead of being condemned for our sins, we are justified. To be condemned means to be declared guilty of a crime. And we all deserve to be condemned for what we've done. But because Jesus Christ was condemned for our sins, we are instead justified. To be justified means to be declared innocent or righteous. So instead of being condemned or declared guilty, we are justified and declared innocent in God's sight because Christ was already condemned for us. And this righteous verdict of justification is given to all those who believe in Jesus, as Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah 43:25 says, "That I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." God says that he will not remember our sins. Now, of course, God is all-knowing. He knows about our sins. And so God, who knows all things, says that he will forget them. He forgets them in the sense that he will never bring up our sins again to condemn us. Our sins are cast into the depths of the sea, as the Old Testament says, and they are never brought up again. They will never condemn God's people. I like what Corrie ten Boom once said about forgiveness, that God takes all of our sins and casts them into the depths of the sea, and then he puts up a no fishing sign. God will never condemn us for our sins because our sins were dealt perfectly with on the cross. And that is why Jesus Christ alone can save us. He alone is qualified to save us as the only person who lived a sinless life and died for sinners. And therefore, our eternal destiny depends on how we respond to Jesus. We have to either accept him and believe in him or reject him. And there's no other way. There's no middle ground. We can't sit on the fence when it comes to Jesus. We have to either accept him or reject him. Because to not believe in him is to be condemned already. It says, "Whoever does not believe in him is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." That means those who do not believe in Jesus as their Savior are in great danger. They are in danger because they have not believed in Jesus, because they stand condemned for their sins. And apart from Jesus Christ, there is no salvation for them. Unbelief, in one sense, is the greatest of all sins. Unbelief is the greatest sin because it is unbelief and a lack of faith in Christ that leaves us guilty for all of our other sins. But belief in Jesus Christ erases all of our sins, no matter how great those sins are. And then Jesus goes on in verse 19, and he explains why so many people do not believe in him. He says in verse 19, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." This is God's judgment, or God's verdict upon the world. God has sent his Son into the world, who is light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," and yet many people have not believed in him. And why do people not believe in him? Because they are in the darkness, because they love the darkness rather than the light. The darkness here in John's writings symbolizes and represents all that is evil and wicked. Darkness symbolizes ignorance of God, the ignorance of sin, and that which is wicked. The kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of Satan, but the kingdom of light is the kingdom of Jesus, who gives to us the light of the knowledge of the salvation that God brings. Jesus Christ is light, and he reveals to us the truth. But sin is darkness, and it obscures for us the truth of the gospel. Sin is inherently selfish and self-destructive. Sin leads to darkness, but the gospel of Jesus Christ leads to light and life, who is Jesus Christ. And because they are in the darkness, they cannot see the beauty of the gospel. Those who love the darkness flee from the light, like when you turn on the light in a room and the cockroaches flee. Those insects are afraid of the light, and those who are in the darkness are afraid of the light as well. They fear the light of the gospel because they don't want their sins to be exposed, because they love their sins rather than loving Jesus Christ. And man's problem is not primarily a lack of knowledge. People need knowledge. They need the knowledge of the gospel, but their greatest need is the need of their heart. They need a new heart. They need a new set of desires. And that's why God says in Ezekiel that he will take out the heart of stone and give to his people a heart of flesh. He will give to them a heart that responds to the words of God. People need a heart transplant. They need a new heart and a new spirit within them. Man's problem is a problem of the heart. And the reason why people don't believe in Jesus is because they love their sins too much to give them up. They refuse to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus because they love the darkness. They would rather abide in the darkness than forsake their sins and turn to Jesus, who is the light of the world. They love the slavery of sin and darkness rather than being freed from their sins by turning to Jesus. And so that leaves all of us with a question. Which group do we belong to? Everyone on planet Earth has to answer this question. Do we belong to the darkness, or do we belong to the light? Are we walking in the light, or are we walking in darkness? Do we know Jesus Christ, the light of the world, as our Savior, or do we not know him? All of us have to answer this question. And the good news of the gospel is that as long as we are alive, we have an opportunity to believe in Jesus, to turn to the light, because it is not too late, to turn to Jesus and to never walk in darkness again, to trust in him, to believe in him, the one who has given to us, to seek the light with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I plead with you on this Christmas day to believe in the light. And what a wonderful day this would be to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, to believe upon him for salvation, to trust in the light on Christmas Day, because Jesus Christ is the Father's gift to us, given to us to save us from our sins. And so let us not put off this great decision. Let us decide to accept Jesus this day, to believe in him for salvation, to accept him just as he is, given to us as the Father's gift. And let us pray together. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we thank you that you died for us on the cross. We thank you that you were given to us by your Father. We thank you that you have come to rescue us, to deliver us from the darkness of sin, and to give us the light of the knowledge of the gospel of the glory of God in your face, in the face of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have shown the light of this gospel to us by giving us good news, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, that there is forgiveness, that there is an opportunity for a new start in life. No matter how far we have gone astray, you, the great shepherd of the sheep, can lead us back to your Father. We thank you for this gift of Christmas, where every year we can remember and can meditate upon and think about what you have done for us. And we thank you that indeed salvation can be found through you. And we pray for those who do not know you as their Savior. We pray that they would come to know Jesus and that they would turn to you before it is too late. And we pray these things in your holy name. Amen. And our benediction for today is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, where Paul prays for the Ephesian church that they might be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And you are dismissed in his peace.